As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Get it, Sassy?
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, August 4th, and we just can't quit you. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Taz Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Taz? We've got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the Max Lielis.
Friends.
Finally, the man making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Leave a comment below the vid. And if you haven't, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Help us out. Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Best way to get those questions in front of our eyeballs. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Shirts, hoodies, shorts, mugs. We got it all. And all of it is good. So go to NoDunks.com. Okay, we called an audible today. Fast Friends, our summer podcast series that has Trey, JD, and myself watching every movie from the Fast and Furious franchise. That's going to now drop later this week. We were going to put it up today. We're actually going to sort of take the day off, but that'll go up on Friday because we've just had too much news here. And tomorrow on the podcast, we'll recap the Olympic men's semifinal games, which happen super late tonight and then early tomorrow morning. So that'll happen on Thursday. What, Trey, you got a cat on your shoulder?
Well, not on my shoulder, but yeah, Wilbur's hanging out here. It looks like he's trying to tune into the stream team, hey! To be quite honest. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Wilbur?
You know, he was being pretty chill today, so I thought I'd let him stay in the stew and help out here.
Look at him pretending he doesn't know what he's doing. He knows damn well what he's doing. That weird ass cat.
Yeah.
It was like an optical illusion. I thought it was on his shoulder there, too.
Yeah, right? What? It looked like it was perched on his shoulder there.
Well, before the show, you were saying something was off camera, and Trey was leaning over saying, "What's up, buddy? I didn't know if you were talking to a child or a cat or a dog." Great to find out. What's up, buddy, cat?
What's up, buddy? What's up, Wilbur? Yeah, so that's tomorrow, talking Olympic Games. And then Friday's Fast Friends, the first rewatch of the first movie of the Fast and Furious franchise. But today, yeah, just more things happening in the NBA free agent world. We're cruising along like a 94 Toyota Supra or something like that. I don't know. We don't know cars. If you want to hear us discuss, though, Kyle Lowry joining the Heat and Chris Paul re-signing with the Suns and Lonzo Ball going to the Bulls and all that, check out yesterday's podcast, Tuesday's podcast, 90 minutes long, recapping day one. But we're into day two here, and we got some breaking news right before we jumped on. In fact, that's why we're a little late here. Woj tweeting, Kemba Walker has agreed to a contract buyout with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and upon clearing waivers, he plans to sign with the New York Knicks. So Tass, he's come to an agreement. I mean, he had a lot of money left on that deal. 2 years, $74 million. We don't know the actual terms of the contract buyout, what he agreed to give back, but in theory, he's signing with the Knicks. What do you think?
It sure seems like a hell of a gift for the New York Knicks. This guy, yeah, 2 years, $74 million left. They come to whatever agreement they do in OKC, and then he just shows up on the Knicks door. Who knows how much they're signing for in New York, but yeah, he becomes their starting point guard automatically. Mm-hmm. And pretty shocked that OKC wouldn't try and get some sort of asset for him in return. I understand it's a big deal, a big contract, so you have to take some money back in return. So that was difficult, I assume. But Kemba definitely wasn't in the plans in OKC, so it makes sense he'd go somewhere else. But yeah, the New York Knicks, I think, have their starting point guard. I think he'll be starting alongside Evan Fournier and RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Nerlens Noel, who now makes a little bit more sense that Nerlens Noel got that money, because now all those four other guys are their offensive players. Nerlens Noel is going to have to play some defense. Derrick Rose goes to the bench, I assume, in his more desired role instead of having to be the starter like he was throughout the postseason there because they needed so much offense. But they are loaded in the offense department, as I said, with Kemba, their new guy, Fournier, Barrett, and Randle. This still leaves them in clearly the second tier of the Eastern Conference. You've got a top tier in Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, the Heat, and the Hawks. Those are the five teams. And we'll get to the Bulls, but I think the Bulls join,
We're number six!
There you go! I think that's the clear fight we're going to have. Knicks will be scrapping the Bulls. Pacers and Raptors are still there. The Celtics are still there as well. Yeah. There we go. The East is deep all of a sudden.
Okay, so this doesn't really move the needle, you're saying, for the Knicks, but this is good because they got a starting point guard.
They got a starting point guard for, I assume, because OKC would have to pay him a decent amount that the Knicks aren't paying a lot.
Right, I assume,
because they just gave up all their cap room on day one for a 7th seed or 8th seeded team, and now they're moving up to the 6.5 seed, it seems like.
Moving up? They're moving down, if that's the case. Aren't they the 4th seed last year? But anyway.
Good point.
Up from yesterday.
Up from yesterday, gotcha. Lee, you're the biggest Knicks fan I know. Madison Square Garden, Kemba Walker. That's worked before. We've seen him have some magical games in MSG. What do you think of this breaking news here from Woj?
Well, I'll start with the positive. 3 and 4 years ago, Kemba Walker played 80 and 82 games. He averaged 22 points a game. He averaged 25 points a game in his last season there in Charlotte. And he shot the ball really well. 43% from the field, 36% from three-point range, and gave you 6 assists a game. So if you get anything like that out of Kemba Walker, then this is an absolute steal for the New York Knicks. The problem is, the last 2 seasons, he's missed significant time through injury, and that's probably why he's in this position in the first place. You know, things didn't work out in Boston. They gave him that big contract, but he was just injured a lot, and I think that the Celtics there were just, like, frustrated, and they were like, this guy can't stay on the court. So that's going to be the thing. He's only 31. I think he's 31 or 30. He's still very, very young in terms of, like, he could have 3 or 4 really good years here. He's not a sort of pass-first point guard. He's more a sort of shooting, scoring point guard, but he can do that for New York. They need that. They definitely need that next to Julius Randle, because we saw in the playoffs here, especially against the Atlanta Hawks, they just didn't have anyone else who was able to create. So if you're the Knicks right now, you're like, all you're looking at is the 2 years prior to this last season, where it's like he was really a good, he was a great player, 4-time All-Star. So he brings a lot of hope to that franchise that he can get anywhere near that level. Then they've picked up a great player for nothing. But if he's in and out of the lineup, and that knee injury has certainly plagued him the last season or two, then you're really not sure what you're going to get out of him, because he's probably going to be in for a few games and he's going to miss a few games, and then he's going to be coming back and it's sort of working his way into the lineup. So that's the whole situation here with the Knicks. They're hoping that he can recover from that knee injury. And if he can, then I think he can still be a very productive player. And I think this is a pretty good pickup for, again, giving up nothing in return.
Yeah, what do you think, Trey, with all the moves, I guess, the Knicks have made here now? Basically bringing the band back together. You know, Reggie Bullock moves on, but then they add Fournier to the big deal. And now we don't know the details, but Kemba Walker. Has this been a pretty good actual free agency now for the New York Knicks? Or is it a bit of like, huh?
I mean, it definitely changes things. It makes me like the Fournier signing a whole lot more, knowing he's not going to be the number one ball handling piece that New York brought in. I don't know that we're going to ever get back to seeing the 4-time All-Star Kemba Walker that we've seen in the past, but that's not necessarily what the Knicks need. They just need a quality starting point guard who is able to play, 35 to 40 minutes a night, which theoretically Kemba will be able to do. Derrick Rose wasn't quite able to do that. I don't like it from 2 standpoints. Number one, I just found out Kemba Walker was an Oklahoma City Thunder. Still adjusting to that, and now he's moving on to the Knicks. That's going to be tough for me, and it does a little bit get in the way, I feel like, of the development of Emmanuel Quickley and more so RJ Barrett. Like, they just keep on bringing in guys to handle the ball, the Knicks do. And that's taking the ball out of the hands of Barrett, who, you know, he was a high draft pick. He seems to have some playmaking ability. The shot looked better towards the end of the season last year. So from that standpoint, I don't love it, but I think getting Kemba Walker for basically nothing is going to be huge for the Knicks. And, you know, point guards who can play in the pick and roll tend to do pretty well in Tom Thibodeau's offense. He'll get a ton of chances. We saw it with Derrick Rose. We saw it with Austin Rivers early in the year. Quickly played out of the pick and roll last year. Kemba's going to get his chances. He's probably best with the ball in his hands playing in pick and roll, so I can see it working from a fit standpoint as well.
Well, let's get to your Bulls, who are making more moves in day two. Sign and trade, DeMar DeRozan. They traded Thaddeus Young, Al Farouq Aminu, and draft picks to the Spurs for DeRozan, who signs a three-year, $85 million deal. Remember when people were wondering if he was going to take like a mad pay cut to join a team to try and win a title? No, not happening. Guy got paid. What do you think, TK? Obviously, Lonzo Ball there on day one, and now DeRozan in the mix. How happy are you or confused are you? What's your emotions with this DeRozan news?
Well, I was surprised and delighted when the Bulls somehow got Alex Caruso on day one. So for the Bulls to get DeMar DeRozan on day two, meant to be, honestly came out of nowhere. Rumors started breaking late afternoon yesterday that the Bulls were in the mix for a DeRozan sign and trade. Felt like it was going to be Lauri Markkanen, since he's been talked about as a sign and trade candidate with the Bulls. The Lakers were still allegedly in the mix. DeRozan had a meeting with the Clippers, but they didn't have the assets that Chicago had to offer in a trade. And it turned out the money was probably too much for DeMar DeRozan to pass up. 3 years, $85 million plus. That's a nice chunk of change for a nice player. Eight straight seasons of 20-plus points for DeMar DeRozan. Career high 6.9 assists per game last season. Very nice. Kind of become a point forward, a little bit of a small ball forward. And like I said, after day one of free agency, the Bulls really needed a wing after bringing in Lonzo and Caruso. They got maybe the best one available who's going to be changing teams. I mean, Kawhi Leonard would be great. Don't think it's going to happen. Bulls are going to be tough to stop and probably very easy to score on. I don't know if the fit is perfect. DeRozan, he ain't a three-point shooter. He's the best with the ball in his hands. So is Zach LaVine. Nikola Vucevic, used to a lot of touches as well, but the Bulls fell apart last season when LaVine went into the protocols. Anytime he went to the bench, the offense looked terrible. And now Chicago has legitimately multiple ball handlers, multiple scorers, multiple creators for the first time in forever. The other concern, no doubt, is the price. 3 years, $85 million. That's a lot. But DeRozan has interest around the league. You know, he was meeting with contenders, and as we've seen with Russell Westbrook on one of the biggest deals in the entire league, literally anybody can be traded. So I'm not worried about that from a cap space standpoint. Bulls also gave up Thad Young, Al Farouq Aminu, and the big thing, a future first round pick. Combine that with the Nikola Vucevic trade. They didn't have their pick this year, 2021. They don't have their pick in 2023. They don't have their pick in 2025. I said it was a concerning for the Heat to go all in for a third seed yesterday. Bulls are all in for a fifth seed right now.
Right.
Yeah. I would have liked to keep the pick, but that doesn't matter to me. The Bulls haven't made the playoffs since 2017. They tried building through the draft, and it didn't work at all. They picked seventh three straight times. They picked fourth once. They've got one guy in their rotation from it. Meanwhile, you look at what the Bulls did last season. They were good for half a season. They look like a competent NBA team again. They said they want to be a free agent destination, and that's what happened right away. The best young guard in his prime who was a free agent, he switched teams. He chose the Bulls. The best wing who's going to switch teams, he chose the Bulls. They outbid the Lakers for a player they wanted to keep. That, to me, is a major change in perception around the league. The Bulls are better today than they were at the end of the season, and they're 10 times better off than they were at the start of last season. So the Bulls are trending the right way. You could even say that they've won free agency so far.
Okay, you're not going to say it so far. Got to play the games for them to be fully back. What do you think, Tass? Like, are they being too aggressive in free agency, I guess, is one way to spin it, and are, like you said, TK, like, I guess the drafting wasn't working, so that type of rebuilding, get out of here. See a picks, see a young guy, see any role player, and here's a bunch of money at Ball and now DeRozan. Do you like it, Tass, or have they gone a little overboard for, you know, a starting lineup that looks good. Ball, Levine, DeRozan, Patrick Williams, I assume, at the four, and then Vooch. Then Caruso off the bench. Kobe White's still there. Larry Markkanen is still there. We'll see with him. But, like, where does that fall in the Eastern Conference? Like, is this a fifth or sixth seed? Are they a title contender? What do you think about these moves, Tess?
Yeah, they're dreaming for the sixth seed, it sure seems like. So did they go overboard? They overpaid, for sure. Who were they bidding against for DeMar DeRozan 3 years, $85 million? You can't think of one team, really. You mentioned the Lakers there, Trey. They could have wanted him, or the Heat could have wanted him, or the Clippers, but they couldn't pay anywhere close. Right. Like, the salary cap is just locked up for most teams in the NBA. Anybody who wanted a 32-year-old DeMar DeRozan, especially. So 3 years, 85, just, it's too much. And then you tack onto that first-round pick and 2 seconds. And a guy who really helped out last year in Thaddeus Young, who would help out on the defensive end. That being said, yeah, let's look at it at the bright side. They are picking a direction. They are at least not in the Gar Foreman era anymore. I mean, this is a team that's trying to win. And I think, you know, just like we talked about the Knicks, they basically have gone all in on the team that they have. And that's what they are. This is what they're going to be for several years without their draft picks. So can they grow from within? I think you know, all these offensive guys, all these offensive weapons, are they going to work together? Zach LaVine is clearly still the guy, and I think playing for USA Basketball in a sort of a third, fourth, fifth, sixth role will help him understand that he's just got to get Lonzo Ball the ball and Vooch the ball and DeMar the ball. Hopefully, and then he can take over in the fourth quarter, and hopefully he likes that situation. I mean, the sum of the parts is should be a lot better, but will they all sort of work together, especially when they dropped the triple T, Thad, Tice, and Temple? Their defense is going to be pretty bad, most likely. They were 11th last year. They dropped those guys. This move puts Caruso on the bench because, yeah, Ball and DeMar and LaVine have to start in that backcourt. Are those guys going to stop anybody? I know Lonzo Ball is sort of classified as a good defender, but he's more of a help guy. And then you got Vooch as a back line guy. So the defense will hopefully be buoyed by a lot of offensive talent. Look at those names. They should be able to outscore some guys or outscore some teams. So it's about them gelling. It's about Lonzo Ball being a better player than he was in New Orleans. It's about Zach LaVine giving the ball up to DeMar and letting him create. And Vooch still getting enough touches. So, I mean, there's some ifs there, but a lot of talent. Yeah. But, you know, maybe teams look at the Bulls and say, yeah, we can join them at some point. But they just have no assets, really, to get any better. So this is that. This is them for several years, it feels like.
Lee, how good is this Bulls team going to be?
Well, I don't think they're better than Brooklyn or Milwaukee, or probably Philadelphia as well.
Miami.
Are they better than the Atlanta Hawks? Probably not, based on the way the season ended last year.
Okay, keep going.
So, you know, I'm just trying to make the best case scenario, because I think, look, if a guy like DeRozan's available, I think it is a good move for the Bulls to get him. I think he's a good player. He improves that team offensively. Obviously, you guys are addressing the defensive issues, no doubt about that. But the most important thing, I think, is you've got multiple guys who can go out there and score. So that's good for Billy Donovan.
I actually love that it's Trey's team too, because Trey's always talking about how overrated defense is, and he's like putting it to the test.
Perfect.
Like,
I love it.
Give up a whole lot, but yeah, they should be able to score.
Like, everyone on that starting lineup can sort of shoot and score, so I think that's great. That's a great start. But yeah, like, defensively, I just don't think there's big enough inside. There's enough presence there. So I don't mind it, though. I think the Bulls were better yesterday than they were at the end of the season. I think they got better yesterday as well. But it's still you have to talk yourself into them being better than one of those, certainly those top three teams in the Eastern Conference. But you just never know with those veterans there added. Maybe things can come together for them quickly. So I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's a good move. I think Chicago giving up the picks, yeah, not ideal, but why not? Just go for it if you can get DeRozan. I think if DeRozan, let's say he signed somewhere else and he was available and the Bulls had a chance and they missed him, I think the Bulls would be disappointed if it was like, what? So what did they give up? Just one pick, was it? Did you say?
Mm-hmm. One first round pick and 2 second round picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind it. I think Chicago needs to be back. They were disappointing to end last season. And, now I think they're I think the ceiling for them right now is home court advantage in the first round. If they can get fourth seed, I think that would be a great spot for them. And I think it's in play.
Okay. I think just the issue with all of the picks going out when you go back to the Wendell Carter Jr. trade for Vooch and then now these ones to get DeRozan, it's like when a lot of picks go out, that's okay, but you usually are hoping to get the superstar, you know, an AD, a Harden, whatever. This is Vooch and DeRozan, and they are not on the level of those guys I just mentioned, but they're better than what they had there, and I'm with you. If they're the fourth or fifth seed, then this is a very successful season, and that's probably what their goal is. I mean, to really win a first round would be huge, of course. Make the playoffs and then win a first round series. But yeah, they're still a step behind the elite teams. I love DeRozan. If you haven't watched him in San Antonio, Trey said it. He's not a shooting guard. He's a power forward at this point of his career, and I assume he sort of will play that role, like you're saying, like the wing role, a 3-4 alongside Patrick Williams there. Donovan has played three guards before in OKC, so, I mean, whatever you're calling him, he is a playmaker. He's turned into that sort of a point forward, and yeah, he doesn't shoot threes at all, so the spacing is an issue with him always. It's just fascinating to see if this is going to work, because a lot of those guys you said need the ball in their hands, or that's how they've been successful. You're not putting DeRozan in the corner to space the floor. I mean, that's not what he's doing. Unless he's added that to his game this offseason, he can suddenly hit a three with some consistency. I doubt it. So this will be fun to watch. But the Bulls, not officially back, but we're going to be talking about them a whole lot more, which is definitely fun for TK wearing the Bulls hat there and the gear. I can't wait.
I don't think the picks and the salary cap stuff, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't actually think this is going to be the Bulls team for the next 5 years. Mark it here. Nikola Vucevic's contract comes up at the end of the 2023 season. You know who else's comes up at the end of the 2023 season? Nikola Jokic.
Oh, wow.
He's, you know, calling who scouted a shot. Him and brought him over to the Denver Nuggets? He's the GM of the Chicago Bulls right now. After you make the playoffs for a couple of years, maybe you start looking at that Chicago team in a major market with a huge Serbian population. That could be an interesting team to play for.
Bulls only get guys when they're well into their 30s, like Vooch and DeMar DeRozan. They got some time.
How old's Lonzo Ball, the premier perimeter player to actually switch teams this year?
He's young.
He is. 23? He's in his prime. The Bulls have never signed a free agent in his prime that's a young guy. Go back to 2016. They signed Pau Gasol. He was 100 years old. Go back to 2010. They cleared cap space for LeBron, Dwayne Wade, or Chris Bosh.
Whoops.
They got Carlos Boozer and Ronnie Brewer. Go back to 2000. They cleared cap space for Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, Tracy McGrady. They got Ron Mercer.
Yeah.
They got some guys.
Lonzo. They got guys.
They got guys. They're going to have angry dad, angry LeVar. The real question is Lonzo Ball, because you got Zach, you got DeMar. Lonzo Ball's papa was pissed last year because he didn't handle the ball a lot in New Orleans. What's going to happen in Chicago? How is he going to adapt? Is he just going to play off the ball and do that again? Because I'm sure when Lonzo got to the Bulls and there was no DeMar, things were looking somewhat good. He's going to be the point guard beside Zach LaVine. But now things are a little different. I hope it all gels.
We'll see. Let's keep it going here. Lakers made a whole bunch of moves. They added another old guy. Carmelo Anthony, we called that one. I mean, you can see that coming a mile away. He is finally going to play with LeBron James there in L.A., but they made some other moves. Signed Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk, and then re-signed Talen Horton Tucker. Tassie, what do you make of all these Lakers moves here? The old guys got another old guy, but then added some youth here.
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony on a minimum deal. This is a weird world we're living in. This is year number 19 for Carmelo frickin' Anthony. And he had his career high in three-point percentage last year. I think it's easy to forget that, a 40.9. So that's what he's going to do. He's just going to sit off the ball and be ready to fire away. Talen Horton Tucker, they needed to sign. The guy they wouldn't give up for Kyle Lowry at the trade deadline last year, had to sign him. And Malik Monk, he is an interesting guy. He is the typical sixth man. Just get hot, buddy. He is a J.R. Smith light that LeBron brought over when he was in Cleveland, brought him over from the Knicks. He's going to be a sixth man. He shot 40% from three last year. Multiple games where he was on fire. Three, four, five, six, seven threes. A couple 30-point games. But he doesn't do that consistently. I say all that about the offense. Bell's going to score. Monk's going to score. But are they going to stop anybody? It's kind of like the Bulls. You know, they just got to light it up. Like the defense, especially amongst the littles, the guards. This is their littles rotation. Westbrook, Wayne Ellington, Kendrick Nunn, and Malik Monk. Alex Caruso would be real nice right now. But I think that if you look at their lineup here, of Russell Westbrook starting alongside probably Wayne Ellington, LeBron, AD, Marcus Gasol, likely their starting center, with a bench of now this very new team of Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Melo, and Dwight Howard. They're old farts, no doubt. Will they be able to move defensively? Who knows? And will they be able to even get enough spacing with those shooters? Like Wayne Ellington, is their best shooter, but is he going to play? It's a strange mix of guys. It's got to play out on the floor. They've had bad shooting years before and still gone to the finals a couple of years ago. That's how good LeBron and AD are. But LeBron is getting a little bit older. Westbrook's going to shrink that space even more. They improved offensively. Defensively is a question. And they just keep getting older. I think the best thing to come out of yesterday was Fred Katz's tweet when he tweeted, the Lakers just traded Pope, then signed Monk and Nunn. Next up, bringing Brian Cardinal out of retirement.
Wow, that's a good tweet. That's
Christianity
good.
FTW right there. That's the stuff we're looking for. I can't wait to see it play out on the floor. But yeah, they're going to rely on just guys chucking, like Malik Monk coming off the bench and just firing away, trying to get you 25, because Westbrook's going to, you know, he's going to play the El Toro, just this, here, go by me, you know, and he's beside him, it's going to be Wayne Ellington or Kendrick Nunn. Like, I know Anthony Davis is a great defender, but I'm really looking forward to seeing if AD and LeBron can whip these guys into shape on that end.
Right. I mean, would you bet, Lee, on the Lakers having the number one defense in the league again,
no,
like they did last year?
No way.
If they do give AD Defensive Player of the Year, I think right now. What do you think of these moves?
These moves yesterday, Malik Monk, a younger player, Horton Tucker, obviously also young, and Nunn, also youngish, is sort of saved them a little bit, because I don't like their moves other than that at all. I don't think, Rob Pelinka saw Dwight Howard in the playoffs or Trevor Ariza last year. Those guys are washed. Dwight, I thought, was really good in the championship he won for the Lakers, coming off the bench playing that role. But he barely got off the court, off the bench against the Hawks in that second round series. And when he came out, he was clumsy. He was fouling guys. He just couldn't seem to do what they needed him to do, which was catch a few lobs, grab a few rebounds, and block a few shots. I think he's washed too, so I don't like those moves. Melo, what we saw from Portland, he's going to come out there, he's going to hit a few threes. Okay, that's fine, him coming off the bench. But other than that, I think they are going to miss Caruso. If you could swap Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn and Horton Tucker for Caruso, I think they'd do that, because he was giving them even better defense. I don't think
they would do that, because couldn't they have done that?
Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing. That's the
Caruso
weird thing.
Caruso has suddenly turned into like the greatest player in the league. I thought it was just Lakers fans that did that. Why is everybody saying it now? He's good. He's not amazing.
But Caruso understood his role and what was needed from him on that team. Kendrick Nunn, he's okay. He can shoot. He can get hot too. I think he hit 9 threes in his very first game. But defensively, he doesn't really do anything for that team. And Malik Monk's the same. It's like, if he does catch fire, as Tass mentioned there, yeah, sure, that's great, but that comes around every 4 or 5 games. So I don't know how often. And Wayne Ellington, man, I didn't even know he was still in the league. So
the man with the golden arm.
I don't think it was a great offseason. The Westbrook trade was a splashy trade. You got Westbrook. The $44 million guy. You come in, he's the triple double man. But I'm like, doesn't LeBron work best when he's got guys around who can rely on to shoot? And I see these guys as being like, from time to time, being able to do it. I don't see Westbrook being able to do that. I think the Lakers honestly took a step back. I saw some people saying they had a great offseason. I don't think they did. Ariza was disgusting against Milwaukee. He was absolutely brutal.
Watch Marc Gasol in the Olympic Games too.
That's the other thing, Marc Gasol.
Said it, Tass, that you think he's starting. I thought the whole thing here was everybody sat down and had brunch together, and AD said, "Okay, I'll play the 5." LeBron said, "I'll play the 4," and Westbrook said, "Okay, let's go." I think this next season,
everyone lies at brunch,
man. On Anthony Davis.
Everyone lies at brunch. Everybody's got a mimosa in them. It's just out there.
Russell Westbrook on that team, if he's like, okay, I'm just going to have to attack the rim, because he can't go on the perimeter. He certainly can't do that. But if he can attack, I mean, if you look at it as the best case scenario, Westbrook could absolutely, score a lot. But I just don't think defensively they're anywhere near as strong as they were. And I sort of look at the floor and I'm like, oh man, if Ariza's out there or if Dwight's out there, that they're losing those minutes.
Hates old people.
No, I'm telling you, they were bad. They were terrible.
You're gonna watch M. Night Shyamalan's movie, Old Lee?
Hey, listen, it catches up with you very quickly, age, and it shows. And as we were talking about with Brent Barry there yesterday, you thought you were still hanging around the league. All of a sudden, you're like, oh man, I'm done. And a couple of those players on the Lakers are done.
Okay, okay. So Lee's not a fan. TK, anything to add to these moves that they did do yesterday in day two?
They had to keep Talen Horton-Tucker. It was their only young piece left. They need his upside. They really need him to kind of seize. I guess he'll probably be their sixth man. I mean, honestly, who knows with the Lakers? They'll probably go through a lot of sixth men, but he needs to actually show him something and fulfill on his promise. They needed the shooting. They're getting that from Nunn and Monk. We need Malik Monk to prove that he's really a 40% shooter, not a 33% shooter, to be that J.R. Smith that everybody loves. And, you know, I gotta give the Lakers a little tip of the cap. They got four Chicago guys now, and Anthony Davis, THT, Kendrick Nunn, and I think Alphonso McKinney is still technically on the roster, also a Chicago guy. That's how you win an NBA championship. The more Illinois boys you got, the better chance.
Okay. Yeah. Let's slip one more in here before we take our first break, but we got a bunch of other minor deals to talk about. The Sixers, Lele, signed Andre Drummond to a one-year minimum deal. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about time, how quickly things can change, Ailey. But what do you think about Drummond here?
He is still only 27 years old. Can you believe that? He feels older for one.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who's a two-time All-Star. I think he's a two-time All-NBA too. Maybe only one-time All-NBA. But anyway, like, this is a guy who the Pistons could only get a second-round pick in return from a couple of years ago. Cleveland tried to trade him last year. There was no interest. He went to the Lakers and didn't really work out there last season. Couldn't do anything in the playoffs for them. And now he's a backup in Philadelphia on the vet minimum. Like, wow. How has he gone so bad so quickly? I thought, remember at the start of last season with the Sexland, I thought he was actually playing really well for Cleveland. Yeah. I thought this is a nice role for him, a nice opportunity. And now he's just basically just wasting away because it's like nobody values what he brings. And I think a part of it is his own problem that he hasn't really shown that he can be either a very consistent lockdown, you know, rim protecting defender, I think, because his defense isn't quite as good as it should be. Mm-hmm. And then on the offensive end as well, you know, he still likes to sort of settle a little bit. He's tried to add the three-pointer to his game. Not really working all that well, but now he's going to...
Work on the two-pointer, man.
That's what I mean.
He's, work on the one-pointer.
Work on anything,
line.
Yeah. But the great thing is, he and Joel Embiid have had some beef in the past. There was a lot of great tweets going around there yesterday where Joel Embiid was saying, you know, I live in his head rent-free and all that stuff. But I think so, from comedical point of view... Is that a word? I don't know. From a comedic standpoint, it's going to be hilarious to see those two guys together. But I mean, I would rather have him over Dwight in Philadelphia, because it's, you still feel at 27 there's some positivity to come out of his career. But,
I guess age hasn't caught up to him yet.
Well, it hasn't, because he's not old enough yet. You can't catch up when you're only 27. So, He should have been, as a free agent this season, been one of those guys. Someone signed him to a five-year, $140 million deal or something. You know, he should have been. That's where his career was a few years ago. But now it's like, anybody want Andre Drummond? And the Sixers are like, yeah, sure, we'll take him. I mean, there's nobody competing for him. So it's a shocker to see that he's just fallen in such a hole.
Wow, we got a lot of sounds going on. I can hear Wilbur.
Yeah, he's trying to get out.
They're taking a tree down, like two doors down from me. We shouldn't have done a show today. I know we should have taken it off, but it's very comedical.
No, come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, it's comedical. As Mr. Alan Jan says, comedology.
TK, anything to add to Andre Drummond going to the Sixers here in a backup role?
Not really, Skeets. I'm ready to get out of here like Wilbur, trying to escape the room as soon as we started talking about Andre Drummond. The man is the NBA's bag of beans. He was traded from the Pistons to the Cavs for a bag of beans. Yeah. We thought maybe the Cavs are going to be able to get a first-rounder. Nope. Waived him. It was a buyout for the Lakers. That's a bag of beans. Now he's going to the Philadelphia 76ers. Another bag of beans. Andre Bag of Beans Drummond.
All right.
It is weird that they got two monsters at the center position when teams are going, you know, somewhat smaller. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want a little bit of a change it up? with your backup position?
Joel Embiid's going to miss 10 to 20 games.
That's what he's there for.
There you go.
He's there to eat up minutes, no doubt. Yeah. Just like he was supposed to do that with the Lakers last year. He could have been their starting center. He could have earned a monstrous contract eating minutes. And that's why I think the Lakers are going to keep going with Gasol and Dwight Howard, because they don't want Anthony Davis's legs to get worn down. They don't want LeBron's legs to get worn down. Same thing in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid's probably just got to sit a ton to be as fresh as possible in the postseason, so he's not playing on one leg. That's what Drummond is there for. And hopefully he plays a lot. But, yeah, hopefully he gets a little bit more focused. Dunk it.
Do you think Morey texted or called Joel Embiid before this signing and was like, hey, I know you had some back and forth with Andre Drummond, but we're thinking of adding him to the team. He's going real cheap right now. We can get him for basically nothing. You think he ran it by him, TK?
Yeah.
Probably.
Here's how the phone call went. Hey, Joel, it's Daryl. Remember last year, you said that you live rent-free in Andre Drummond's head? How would you like to have him living rent-free in your home? We just signed him. Got a bunk bed he can stay in? All right. Call me back.
Okay. Didn't really commit to the bit there.
That was
like,
great.
Talking about other things. Yeah, we're trying.
Did Joel pick up?
Yeah, we're trying to trade him. Nobody wants him. We're asking for everything. Nobody wants him.
Did Joel pick up there? Because midway through, it felt like a voicemail. But I wasn't sure.
It was a voicemail.
Oh, okay.
And Bean's busy, man. He's out having fun right now. It's the summer.
He's a one-word guy, though. He could have snuck it in. That could have been a conversation, too.
Yeah, good point.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll get to John Collins signing his big deal with the Hawks and some of our other favorite minor deals from day two of free agency. But we got to pay the bills here. TK, what do you got?
Oh, man, I was actually going to go and let Wilbur out of the out of the room.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
And we learned yesterday that Lili very excited for this sweepstakes here, I guess. This chance to go to the Open, watch some golf. You love golf, don't you, Lee?
Well, I love going to golf. It's one of those sports that you can watch the majors. Other than that, it's a little tough. A little tough to watch golf, you know. Tennis is the same, you know. Davis Cup is a little bit different, I suppose. But outside of the majors, you know, it's just a little hard to get too excited. But
yeah, we just had the tournament, the men's tournament, while the Olympics were going on here in Atlanta. So not the best of competition here.
Oh, the tennis. The yeah. Atlanta Open. They have it down at Atlantic Station down yeah, there, basically in the car park. No wonder no one wants to come and play here. Yeah, it's like 600 degrees in the car park. It's a temporary venue. Like, come on, this is supposed to be a big city. We should at least have a decent tennis court, arena to be able to put up a tournament. Never going to get a major player to come down if that's the condition. So
it's a nice car park, though.
Well, yeah, look, if you're talking car, you want to talk car parks? I think it is a really nice car park.
I agree.
They also do a lot there. They have concerts there. They've got the, a circus.
Throw up there.
Yeah.
Banging.
Yeah. Yeah, but that court, I think, is sort of up all the time. They just kind of repaint it just before the players who do turn up play there.
I'm not sure about that, but no? I don't think they take it down. Yeah.
No but I think the court is constantly there, isn't it? It's actually
there are, I think you're thinking of some other courts, that are nearby. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Atlantic Station?
Hey, they may as well have the tournament up at Underwood Hills where we play basketball. Those courts are as good as the ones down there at Atlantic Station.
And, we got some players here. You had the crazy Australian Greek guy. I can call him crazy. Nick
Kyrgios.
Kyrgios, he was here.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay, cool. I don't know. It's I'm not jumping on Ticketmaster for that one.
Standing room only?
Ah, no, drive past only. Yeah, drive by.
Who's playing? I
got DPO tickets.
Drive by.
Who's playing number 358 in the world versus the number 264 in the world?
Okay. How dare you?
Jesus.
How dare you? They had some guys there, I'm telling you. Corbin, Nori, British guy?
British, ah. Nah, never heard of him.
Okay. His Joey number Collins, three, guys, agreed to a 5-year, $125 million deal with the Hawks. This was breaking news right before we jumped on. So, Lee, I mean, we don't have to go long on this. We thought Collins would ultimately stay in Atlanta. What do you think of the money here? Not bad there for John Collins.
God, I think the Hawks got a bargain, to be honest. I think that's not bad. $25 million a year? That's very, very palatable. John Collins is a player who, in his second season, was like a 20-10 guy. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily need him to even be that. They need him to be the guy they had in the playoffs, where he was an impactful player without necessarily putting up huge numbers. I think he and Trae Young have a good connection there. John Collins can spread the floor a little bit. John Collins can catch those oops. John Collins plays defense. So he doesn't really have a weakness, John Collins, other than you don't necessarily want him to be your first guy on offense. You want him to be your sort of second or third guy. He actually, his mid-range game as well in the playoffs was really solid. So I think the Hawks got a very good price here for John Collins. I think he could have gotten more, but he stays. They drafted him. I think he and Trae have got a good chemistry and connection there. So I think this is a very, very good move.
I think smart move by him and his agents, too, to wait for day two and watch Jared Allen sign for, 5 years, $100 million, and sort of maybe set the market for him a little bit. Hey, I'm better than him. I've already contributed to a playoff team and stuff like that. Maybe get a little bit more money if that came into the equation. TK, anything to add?
Gonna buy a lot of tickets to the Atlanta Open.
It's true.
A lot of cars for that car park.
Yeah, that's right.
This is nice. As Collins turned down a $90 million deal before the season. Halfway through the season, it looked like, that might have been a bit of a misfire there, Johnny. But then in the second half, he turned it on. The Hawks got good, and he looked incredible in the playoffs. Like Lee said, Collins could be a 20-10 guy. I know that. I feel like some of us may have picked him as a first-time All-Star heading into the 19-20 season, so you know the talent is there. There's still, I think, a little bit of room for growth, and maybe playing alongside Trae Young, he gets even better as he gets further into his career. But what he gives the Hawks from a production standpoint and from a glue guy standpoint, smart move to bring him back.
Yeah, that's a good PowerPoint presentation for coaches trying to get guys to play team ball because, in that 19-20 season, John Collins was 21-10. And then he turned down that big, big offer. And then the next season here in Atlanta, 17-7. In the playoffs, 14-9. He's 14-9 just now, but then gets paid $25 million because he was absolutely a grinder.
He played defense, hit timely shots. Yeah,
played hard, didn't shoot a lot. His numbers came down, but he just helped out in every facet of the game. And I hope he's willing to do that for the future because that's what makes the Hawks really good. They need him. to be that, because they need some physical bodies along with all that incredible offense they have.
Day two of NBA free agency. We've talked about a lot of the sort of bigger moves and Drummond, who's a bag of beans. But favorite minor deal, a lot of other ones. Lee, what do you want to pick or highlight here for everybody that's joining us on the stream team and listening to the podcast?
Well, I'll play the Homer card here and say that Patty Mills going to Brooklyn, 2 years, $12 million. That second year is a player option as well. I think that's pretty good for Brooklyn. I think it gives them a very solid, reliable guy coming off the bench. I think it's five seasons in a row Patty's hit 150 threes off the bench for San Antonio. That's what Brooklyn needs, basically someone to come out there and just keep that offense flowing. He'll play, obviously, behind Harden and Kyrie Irving, but when one of those guys gets injured and misses a game or two, Patty could potentially even slot into that starting lineup. So you get a good veteran there. He's got a bit of a relationship with Sean Marks, the GM of Brooklyn, because they were teammates in San Antonio, or I don't know if they were teammates, but Sean Marks was there in San Antonio when Patty was there. So I think this is great. I think this is a good signing here for Brooklyn, and Patty keeps a little bit of a power there as well to hold on to that second year option at $6 million a year. I think that's a steal. I talked yesterday about Furkan Korkmaz getting $5 million over 3 years, or $5 million per over 3 years. I think, that's the thing. I think Furkan could be better than Patty Mills because he's a bit younger. But Patty's got the runs on the board right now. He's got the scoreboard. And I think this is a good move for Brooklyn because they gave up. They didn't re-sign Mike James or Chiosa, so they had a spot there. And Patty slots into that perfectly.
Yeah, Brown coming back to the Nets too. It's going to be a little awkward, though, when Patty Mills beats his new teammate tonight. In Kevin Durant, right, Lee? That could get a little little dicey when Australia shocks the world and beats Team USA. I don't know what happens then. Maybe he'll be off the team. But
maybe that's why Popovich doesn't want to hang on to Patty. He's like, you just keep beating me. He's beaten him the last two times they've played. So
interesting. Yeah, that's a great move. I'm sure you like this one too, Tass. The Patty Mills signing there and the Nets having what appears to be, like you talked about, Blake Griffin, him coming back on the vet minimum yesterday. They got a fine bench for a squad that's obviously top heavy still with their stars.
It is pretty crazy. Sean Marks, the team that he's building, I got the hots for this team, no doubt. It is about relationships. Yeah, Sean Marks has a relationship with Patty Mills. Kevin Durant said after the season to Blake Griffin, we want you back. And Blake Griffin, the dude comes back on a minimum contract. I said yesterday that it had to be larger than a minimum deal. Blake Griffin was the second best player after Harden and Kyrie went down on the Brooklyn Nets. He was just steady, and now he's coming back for a minimum deal. If he can be the fourth best player with Harden and Kyrie back, then they're stacked. Yeah, Patty along with Javon Carter as their backups at the guard spot, Blake, Bruce Brown on the minimum, and James Johnson, who they just signed. Now, James Johnson is a guy bounced around the league a lot. He could be one of those guys that plays with like 12 teams when all is said and done.
Yep.
But they signed him specifically to guard one guy. If the Nets play the Bucks, he's going to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. Going to get some minutes there. That's what he does. He is a mixed martial artist, so he knows how to defend himself. I mean, I think that's what it's all about. It's just about getting in Giannis's way. And as a friend of the program, Bucks aficionado Frank Madden pointed out, Giannis was younger then, but not sure any duo frustrated him more than the James Johnson-Hassan Whiteside combo in Miami a few years back. James Johnson is just good at being a jerk. He could be what PJ Tucker was for the Bucks against Kevin Durant for some minutes there against Giannis. So that's why he's there. He's 34. Hopefully he has something left because he is getting pretty old. He was in New Orleans chipping in last year. But yeah, if he's their PJ Tucker, if they get to the finals, because it sure seems like we're destined for Nets Lakers, he'll probably play some minutes against Anthony Davis as well, just to get in people's way. But yeah, Sean Marks, that's pretty incredible for me as you said, the top three, ridiculously heavy. And then Blake Griffin probably going to start for you at a minimum contract. Bruce Brown could be starting at a minimum contract. And then, a bunch of bench guys chipping in.
Trey, what do you have for a minor deal from day two that you like?
Well, Jeff Green isn't getting that all-time teams record too easily because Ish Smith signed with the Hornets.
Yep.
That'll be his 12th team, and I'm guessing it's going to be his favorite team. He was apparently born in Charlotte, played his high school and college basketball in North Carolina, and I think he'll fit alongside LaMelo, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward. The Hornets played their best when they were playing super fast. That's what Ish Smith is the best at, is playing fast. So I think he'll be a solid third or fourth guard for them. And the good thing for Ish Smith is he signed his deal, $4.5 million for 1 year with a team option for the second year, which means he might be able to find team number 13 next summer, which would put him in the lead, right? Yep. He could even sign with the Denver Nuggets alongside Jeff Green. Number 13 alongside Jeff Green. Sounds too good to be true. So, yeah, Ish Smith keeping the ticker counting.
Couple deals I liked. Rudy Gay signing with the Jazz is solid. I think it's 2 years, 12 million-ish, 12.1, I think, officially. You know, he's basically a backup big at this point of his career, but he's still solid, so I don't mind that for them. And I also like Markieff Morris going to the Heat. Now, you're hoping for 2020 bubble Morris, not 2021 Morris when it comes to at least shooting, because he was bad last year, 31% from deep. But if you remember in the bubble down in Florida, he was awesome. He shot 42% from three in that playoff run for the Lakers in the championship run. So I like it. Obviously, it's not a lot of money here. We talked about the Heat having a bunch of spots to fill and basically only the vets minimum to throw at guys. And, well, one of them's filled here, I think, in a pretty good player in Markieff Morris. So I like both of those. Obviously, vets that are big play a little defense, and, you know, both of these guys can obviously score a little bit. Can score in bunches, at least. And you're just hoping, again, with Morris, that it's more from 2020 and not last year, where it sort of fell off a cliff. Like, 31%. Ugh. It was sort of falling out of the rotation there.
Don't know if you saw this one, Skeets, but the Jazz, along with Rudy Gay, picked up Hassan Whiteside. What?
Yeah.
It's in case they ever run into Giannis in the NBA Finals. I heard he was one of the best defenders against him in the past.
I know you like that story. I know you like old stories.
I love it. Yeah. Another great fit, Robin Lopez signing with the Orlando Magic. Yep. Best fit for free agency, if you ask me.
Yep, he's got to be happy about that. Yeah, we didn't talk about the Kings getting Len. And now the Jazz getting Whiteside.
But what about the Spurs, though? I mean, the Spurs offseason has been pretty bad. It seems like they've lost everybody. I mean, DeRozan's gone, Rudy Gay's gone, Patty Mills is gone.
Doug McDermott and Zach Collins.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, what's the Jock Landale scouting
report? Yeah, well, Jock has a 40-foot shot. No, it doesn't quite, but yeah, he's...
Wait, is that a children's...
Is that a reference?
Fable?
Jock has a 40-foot shot. Okay.
He's good player.
Explain
good.
This guy for people who have no idea
he's Australian.
He's
Australian
about.
Big. Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't been in the NBA before, actually. Or maybe he was on a roster, a summer league roster there. But yeah, he'll provide a little bit of offense to that team and a little bit of defense as well. He's obviously playing well for Australia right now. He's not going to move the needle all
he's
that much.
Play basketball.
2 year deal. So nice to have another Australian in the league. It's great.
He won MVP of something, right? Of the NBL.
Of the NBL, was he? Is he
of a tournament. I don't know, something.
Grand Final MVP.
Grand Final.
Oh, that's the final series. Yeah, like the finals MVP. Yeah. Yeah,
that's good. So, sounds good to me.
But you don't like what the Spurs have done overall here.
Well, overall, I think they seem to have not really improved overall.
Right.
I mean, losing all those veterans, as I mentioned, Patty and Rudy and DeRozan. And it was fine. You know, you have to move on from those guys as well because they weren't a playoff team anyway. But I don't know. It just sort of seems that the Spurs always used to be able to just, you know, somehow become a better team. And now they've got their young players, of course, Derek White and DeJounte Murray and Keldon Johnson there. So
yeah, they're leading into the youth.
That's the thing.
Here,
maybe they're just saying, all right, we're gonna start fresh here. But it always just felt like the Spurs would somehow figure out a way to get better. But I don't think they have so far. Maybe they get Markkanen. Even that's a bit of a long shot right now as far as, I mean, what's his status? He's a restricted free agent, isn't he, with Chicago? Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
Well, good. Just back to that jock line you had. What is that? Is it a kid's story?
Yeah,
or
you haven't heard. It's.
Oh, no, I haven't heard it. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I won't say it on air. But if you know it, you know it. If you don't, then I'll say it. I'll wait till we're off air.
What a tease!
So it's not a kid's story.
No. It must not be good.
Well, we used to say it as kids, but
so jock's got a 40-foot cock. I
said that's
how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. You can say it. I mean. We're not going to get canceled for saying that, I don't think. I hope not.
Well, you said it. I didn't say it.
That's his name, eh? Jock. Wow.
Yeah.
An athlete by the name of Jock. It's good.
But I've never seen it coming. All right, we have some other news here. A little jersey talk. In celebration of the NBA's 75th anniversary season, Nike unveiled new Nike NBA Classic Edition uniforms, recognizing three franchises that have been part of the league since the beginning. The Celtics, the Knicks, and the Golden State Warriors, who were first known as the Philadelphia Warriors. We're showing the three jersey set here to everybody on the stream team, everybody watching on YouTube, JD sort of cycling through them. TK, what do you think of these? Are you a fan of this?
In general, I'm a fan of these. I really like the Knicks and the Celtics. I like that they have kind of made these extra shimmery. You know, I guess that's what it was supposed to look like in the 1940s and 1950s. Also, the early 2000s, if we're being honest. I love that they included fake belt loops on the shorts. I think that's hilarious. I would have gone the full boat and gone for actual loops, but that's probably a hard sell in 2021. The only thing I don't like, I don't think they should have done a Warriors one. The team moved.
Yeah.
This is like a Philadelphia jersey that they're using, and they made it into a Golden State looking one. It's just not the same to me as the Knicks and the Celtics, who have obviously stayed where they started. I guess you almost have to do this. The Philadelphia Warriors won the first championship of the BAA way back when, so I can understand why they're doing it, especially since people are going to be watching the Warriors. But that one is a clear number three to me after the Knicks and the Celtics, just because of the history of those two teams, starting in the BAA way back when, staying there, staying with their team names, staying with their same looks, basically. A little bit different than the Warriors.
Yeah, where are the Huskies, Taz?
Yeah.
It's the Toronto version. What's going on here? They played the first official
first
game, right?
Game.
Against the Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of weird.
That is weird. And those are nice jerseys. They've come out many times. They have been very shimmery. They've been sweet throwbacks. I've liked them a lot.
The Huskies. The
Huskies.
Ones, yeah.
The Toronto Huskies. Yes. So many Toronto fans during the dark days wanted the Raptors to go back to the name of the Toronto Huskies because they're white and blue as well. They would match the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be some brand synergy there, but not no mo. But it's a nice throwback. It's a very nice throwback.
Yeah. Lee, what do you think of these jerseys here, this idea? You fan of
those? I love the shorts, especially. I could really see myself wearing a pair of those ones around. Maybe not the Celtics ones, but the Warriors and the Knicks ones for sure, because basketball shorts are so comfortable. Yeah, they look awesome. I mean, you roll up to the Underwood Hills to play in those ones, definitely. Definitely.
I would love to wear those shorts and drive by Atlanta Open.
Yeah, those shorts would be great to turn up in for some outdoor pickup hoops.
Oh, cool shorts, Dad.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Nike logo slapped on these? The little Nike sportswear, I guess, logo on all three of these. Yeah, we noticed, Nike. We see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Just like it was in 1940. Yeah. Hey, at least they did an old school Nike logo.
That's true.
Get away from them.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Overall, I am a fan of these. I think they look pretty good. For the 75th anniversary season, that's what they'll be celebrating there. Let us know, thumbs up or thumbs down on those jerseys there.
Hold on. I'm dumb. Yeah. I'm dumb. So these teams are going to wear them blue moon.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Eight times? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to check the locker room app or whatever the heck that is that tracks all these things. I'll talk to Paul Lucas offline. We'll get an answer. okay, let's take our final break here. Then Tass has Tweet of the Night.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, back with No Dunks here. We're going to get to Tweet of the Night in a second. But I just got an email from, I don't know, what's this guy's name?
BetMGM. It's from BetMGM.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it has the odds for tonight's Australia versus USA game. Mm. And I bring this up because on yesterday's show, we had a little bet made between the American TK and the Australian Lele over this game. I came up with the line. I just like, I don't know what it is. I'm going to say the Americans are favored by 8.5. The line is 12 is what I'm seeing here. So, you know, not that far off, but the loser of this bet between these two guys, the cover's coming into play. I guess are we using my line, or do you want to like go to the official line?
Keep your line. That was what we agreed on.
Okay,
so keep that.
Respect, yeah. Man. Respect. The loser is going to have to sing, a country song of the other person's choice. Is that right? Is that what we ultimately decided on?
A song from the country.
Oh.
Of the other person's choice. A country's song, okay. If you will.
Okay,
I forget what Lee said. Mine was
Chain
Chisel.
Chain Sand by Cold Chisel. Yeah, yeah. I'll send you a link to it after the show.
Thanks. I'm not going to need to open it, but I appreciate that. Meanwhile, you should be getting ready with John Mellencamp's little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Oh yes.
Funny, I'm always ready for that actually. So
perfect.
You don't even need the lyrics, do you?
I was watching. I went to see John Mellencamp here in Atlanta.
Of course, at the quick drive by
car
Chastain,
park.
No, the Chastain Amphitheater.
Yeah,
it's a good place.
Yeah,
that's perfect for a drive by.
That's a great place to watch John Mellencamp. And I actually recorded Jack and Diane when he sung that there. So I was looking back.
Cool
at
story,
it.
Bro.
I never understood why you're one of these people filming the songs at the
concert.
Just enjoy
know,
the
I
moment,
know.
Man. It
well,
feel
I
like
do.
Good
no,
to me,
no. Lee. Listen, I've said this before. I don't sit there with the camera like this. I sit with it like this. So I'm still sort of like, you know. Swaying, singing.
But why are you recording it? What are you going
to
do with it?
Well, I'm glad I recorded it on this time because John Mellencamp got the crowd to sing and the crowd got it wrong and John Mellencamp got upset at the crowd. So he said, wait.
What, they say Jock and Diane by accident?
No. I'll show it to you if you want. I'll show it to you, but it's a great moment there for us John Mellencamp fans.
Yeah, sure.
The camp heads.
I mean, I'm that, glad you recorded that,
melanin,
too.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have that moment.
Well, I figured you pulled in or showed up with your little tripod, Lee, because it's a great venue. You can have a little table there. You can just put the tripod on. I know you like rolling with your tripod. You can just put the tripod right down there, click record.
Yeah.
And then just watch the show.
Yeah. It's true, though. I do love to take the tripod because it is great when you can set it up like that. Problem is, though, at a concert, you know, you've got a few yahoos who, like, you know, sort of, they can't sit still or stand still, whatever they're doing, they're moving around. So you have to sort of be ready to move around the camera as well. But if you're having fun, I don't mind. It's fine.
You're doing the Chili Dogs version, though, right?
I don't really want to do that one. I mean, I can't. That one can't be replicated, you know. I think just a bad version of John Mellencamp's would be better, I think. So we'll see. Maybe I won't even have to do it at all. Who knows?
Okay. Everybody bring your tripods tomorrow to film this. when we find out who will be singing, at least. Okay, the line's 8.5. That's the Skeets line. Americans got to win by 9 or more.
Of course, Lee's going to agree to that. I mean, it's smaller than the actual line.
Oh, yeah, true.
But well, anyways, yeah, it should be.
Well, it's an easier cover for the U.S. too, right? The line is 12.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Lee said, no, give me that line.
Oh, well, I mean, the Americans are going to win by 20 points.
That's it. Done.
There you go.
What, should be fun.
No, we're going 8.5 because I want it to be like a 9-point win or something. All right.
Team USA is going to beat both lines.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'll put that out there. 20-point victory. It's beating the 8.5 line and the 12 line.
Wow, this guy is confident. They're going to lay the hammer down on Patty Mills tonight and Jock. What's his last name?
Landale. Biggest moment in Australian men's basketball history tonight. Really is. Really
there you
is.
Go. Yeah. So you'll be up tonight, 12:15, I think, the tip, Eastern.
Yeah, 12:15 Eastern. I think it is, yeah.
Biggest night in Australian hoops history. You're going to be up there?
Biggest night in history? Oh, watch it in the morning.
All right. So, let's get to Tweet of the Night. I almost forgot.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
I'm going to do something what often happens with Tweet of the Night. It ain't about a tweet at all. It's just, I'll show you the internet. So here we go. Here is the internet. I'm taking you around, starting with Dwight Howard's Instagram post. Now, I'm focusing on Ben Simmons, though. Current 76er Ben Simmons was addressed by former Sixer Dwight Howard. He said his goodbye to Philly and on IG. The standard stuff. I love you. Miss you. You're the best. And then at the end,
at the end. This had nothing to do with Ben Simmons. This is Dwight Howard saying goodbye to Philadelphia. He said, thank you to the entire 76er staff. We will always be family. And Ben, Benjanese, went at him about his free throw routine, about his free throw form. Yeah. Kind of strange from Dwight.
I guess maybe they got a little inside
They got an inside jack. Yeah, they're doing their thing.
Speaking of that, did you see the little video going around yesterday, Skeets? This one's particularly for you, of Ben Simmons, like, you know, he was going up against somebody, some workout
here it is,
guy.
Here it is. Here it is. I'm showing you the internet. I'm showing you the internet.
Oh, yeah. I don't care. Wow. Great.
I know. How, like...
Ben is working on the jumper. Let me paint the picture.
You guys are going to fall for this again, are you?
Buddy.
This is from a well. This is exactly the same thing from a couple of years ago that he Instagrammed out. This is his trainer, Chris Johnson, put it on his story. It's Ben gets the ball at the 3-point line, backs down his defender, a couple steps in the mid-range fadeaway, and he hits a shot. It's literally the same thing from a couple of years ago.
Guy can't miss. How many times did he shoot it right there? Unbelievable.
Flawless execution.
Here, I got more of the internet here. Okay, and Ben was feisty. He was feisty on the internet. I guess this the run had him going because he put up a photo of himself near the free throw line. And apparently, it looks like he's going to shoot the ball. And that's when Worldwide Chad commented. He really acting like he was about to shoot. And Ben Simmons... He obviously went to Worldwide Chad's profile because he replied to that comment and said, quote, your lips look like you got stung by a bee, nutty professor ass. he just went out of it. And I mean, making fun of a man's looks, not weird. Cool, but this is Worldwide Chad. Maybe get him some followers.
Worldwide Chad is?
I don't think so. I don't know. I didn't go to his profile. I'm not sure if he has a lot of followers. But yeah, give him a little love for getting poked at by Ben Simmons, calling him nutty professor ass. Jesus. Like his lips got stung by a bee. Ben Simmons, yeah, he is
Worldwide
feisty.
Chad living rent-free in Ben Simmons' head. I guess here. When's Ben Simmons getting traded? That's all I care about. Mm. Make it happen. Be perfect timing if that were to happen later today so we could talk about it on tomorrow's show, along with us talking about those two Olympic games that are happening super late tonight and then in the early morning. Slovenia, by the way, 2.5-point favorites versus France. Makes sense. Luka hasn't lost yet when he plays for them. Anything else? Sorry, Tass, from
the
internet?
No, no. Okay. Let's see what else is on the internet.
No. All right, we'll call it there, guys. We will be back tomorrow. Hopefully Ben Simmons gets traded by then. We'll talk about any of the other minor moves that maybe happen. I guess Tony Bradley going to your Bulls. I saw the stream team saying TK.
Yes! Everything keeps coming up Bulls!
It's incredible, isn't it?
Tony! Tony!
We'll talk about that and hopefully more on tomorrow's show. That's on Thursday. You can join us live around 10 a.m. Eastern. I think that'll give us enough time, right, with the second game. Being on in the morning, Lee's saying 100% yes, so definitely, but that means definitely not. But okay, we'll be fine. We'll be talking about those games. So join us at 10 a.m. Eastern live here on YouTube if you want to join the stream team. Otherwise, we'll flip that into a podcast as soon as humanly possible. And then on Friday, again, barring any crazy, crazy nudes that we may not take, we will drop our first episode of Fast Friends, JD, TK, and I watching the first movie from the Fast and Furious franchise. That will drop on Friday now. I know we teased it for today, but we just pushed it back because we got so many things to talk about in the NBA world. So that's coming up for the rest of the week. Thank you so much for joining us here. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the best thing that the Sacramento Kings social team can do this season is take Alex Len, Steal My Sunshine, and Mo Harkless, who they also signed. How could you be Mo Harkless? And create a couple videos of those guys singing those songs. Let's make some magic, Sacramento Kings, because we know on the court it ain't going to happen.
Ooh.
Probably not.
Embrace the day, people.